I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. Hey, guys! If you've ever had an interest in hosting, you're going to want to check this out. Corey Almeida originally came out to L.A. to be an actor. Through various events and opportunities, Corey did find himself in front of the camera. But as a host, now he's the warm-up guy for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars, and he's even got his own show on the Hub Network called Pitcherica. Corey's an amazingly nice guy. He talks to me about how he got a start and what changed his focus from acting to hosting. And if you have aspirations of hosting, he gives some fantastic advice.
Have you always wanted to be an actor?
Yeah, I mean, I've always... the weird thing is, you know, actually, I always wanted to be a football player. I grew up, as a kid, played football my whole life, and then in my my junior year in high school, I tore all the ligaments in my knee.
Oh, that happened
during a game.
Oh.
So it wasn't a great game, and I was actually we were driving down to score the winning touchdown, and I played quarterback, and so I literally just turned to my one guy and said, "Look, like, I'm not looking anywhere else. I'm throwing the ball to you, so just get open." And that was my problem. I looked at him the whole way, and I threw it, and that got picked off, and then I was so angry when the guy picked it off that I mean, it was probably like the best tackle of my life. Like, I crushed the guy. But when I tackled him, my foot planted, like, it was the side of my leg against the front of his leg, so his knee went right through the side of my knee. So as soon as we hit, it was like instant, like, I'm like, my knee is shattered. Oh. Like, I've never experienced so much pain in my life. So as soon as he hit me, I knew I was a goner. So then that kind of put the kibosh on those dreams, and then I was dared by the football team to audition for the school play at the time, which was Grease.
Oh, wow.
Which it seems like everyone starts there with that show.
That's how I started, yep.
It's like, you know, so I remember auditioning for the show, and then I ended up getting the part of Danny, and once I did that, you know, as everyone you talk to who's, you know, kind of gone through that, once you do it once, you're hooked. You know, anybody who's still in the business, after their first time, that was the one that got them. So then it was hooked, and I from that point on, I just really loved it, and I started off at Wagner College on Staten Island, but they were more of a musical theater school, and I love musical theater. Like, if I could come back and do anything other than play football, it would be to be a Broadway star. But I cannot sing. I cannot sing at all. So that's not even in the cards. But Wagner was predominantly a musical theater school, and I wanted to do some more straight acting. So then I transferred to Emerson in Boston, because they have a great film department, so I could do TV, I could do film, they have a radio station, so it was kind of, I got to dip my hands in a whole bunch of different stuff, which was great. And then, yeah, I got my degree in acting, and the reason I went to Emerson is because they have a program where you can study abroad in L.A., so you can do one semester in L.A.
Oh.
So I came out here my last semester of school, my second semester senior year, I came out here and stayed at the Oakwoods, where every actor stays at some point in their life.
Of course.
that's like, you know, that's the whole rite of passage. So
I have a bus from LAX to take you right there.
Yeah, exactly. You're an actor, you're here for pilot season, great, here we go. And they're like, it's you and about, I don't know, 8,000 13-year-old kids. Because they're all out here, too, with their moms and dads trying to get acting roles, so it's always funny. It's like, you know, so that's how that went. And then actually my first gig was as a hip-hop dancer, which is basically, I mean, any great actor started as a hip-hop dancer. I mean, I'm sure Brad Pitt and Chinos and De Niro's of the world, that was their big beginning, right? So I did hip-hop, I did a bunch of stuff for Nickelodeon and Disney, I toured, did stuff with Mandy Moore, music videos and whatnot, and then in the meantime, I got some acting roles. I got an acting role on a couple independent films, and had some fun with that. I got a little guest starring role on Everybody Loves Raymond, which was great because it was as a swing dancer. But I got to dance and act a bit on that one, which was great. So I did some stuff like that, and it was really good. But the funny thing was, as a dancer, I got cast in this pilot for this TV show that Fox Family was doing before they got bought out by ABC Disney called House of Pop, which was like a young, modern American Bandstand type show. And I was one of the House of Pop dancers. So they shot this pilot, and they needed some dancers to intro the host and all that kind of stuff. So for me, I was like, yeah, no problem. Most dancers don't like to talk. So that's where I was in the minority. And I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll hop in. So I introed the host and had a whole bunch of fun with that. And then they ended up picking up the show, but they didn't pick up the host, and they had me come in and read for the host. So they ended up casting me as the host of the show.
Oh, wow.
After being the dancer, which is great. So we did 15 episodes of that. We did a whole summer of it, and then, of course, Fox Family was bought by ABC Disney, so that one kind of went away. But I remember going to my agent when I got that show, and I was like, look, I came out here to do serious acting. I do not want to be known as a quote-unquote host. Like, I do not want to be the host guy. I want to act. I want to do serious film. I want to get deep into roles. I want to do all this stuff. I want to go through the method. I want to, you know, whatever it takes. I want to have years of therapy afterwards to be a real actor. So I did that, and then I did a couple of independent films, like I said, and I remember it like it was yesterday. I was walking on the set onto the set of Everybody Loves Raymond, and I remember I was at Radford, and we're walking in, and I was thinking to myself, I'm just not, like, the excitement that I should have was not there. I'm like, why is this excitement not there? Like, why am I not excited? I mean, I've got a role on a TV show, a great TV show. This is what I want to do. So I did the show. I mean, it was great and all that good stuff. But I remember feeling that inside, and then I immediately went right back to my agent, and I said, all I want to do is host. Like, that's all I want to do. Like, forget the acting. I just want to be goofy, be silly, be me, and I want to host. I don't know, because I know, you know, part of acting is bringing yourself to the role, but you have to marry it with the role. Hosting, you're really cast for yourself, and that's it. You know, there's no, obviously, there are the logistics of whatever show you're doing, and there's the, you know, the information that you have to disseminate to the audience, but for the most part, you're not trying to find a certain place. I don't know what it is. I think for me, I love the idea of live. I love the idea that there are no mulligans. You know, there's no do-over. Live is live, and that's it. You know, we're on the set, you can go 12, 15, 20 takes all different ways, and, you know, obviously it's all up to the editor how they take it and do it, which is all great, but for me, that just didn't appeal to me. I'm an adrenaline junkie, so feeding off of that adrenaline of, we've got a live audience, like, I can't mess up, you know, and if I do, I've got to find a way to get out of this and make it work, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of that energy that I just gravitate towards. I think for me, that kind of pulls me in, and that's why, you know, I go by Corey Live. On my website, all my stuff is Corey Live, because that's kind of what I've been pulled towards. So I think it's that. I think it's that live element that you just don't get when you're shooting a film or a TV show, or, you know, even though you may have a live studio audience, you know you can do take 2, 3, or 4, however many you need, you know.
So after you went back to your agent and said, let's do hosting. So what happened after that? Was it, because it seemed to me it was kind of relatively easy for you to pick up the first hosting job, kind of like, maybe you're sort of natural at it, you know?
Yeah, it got, and you know, it's so funny because it just kind of happened. You know, that kind of just fell upon me. So it wasn't one of those things that, because I was auditioning for tons of commercials and tons of film and TV and stuff like that. So being a dancer and throwing some lines and then going in and doing that thing as a host, I didn't really put a lot of pressure on myself, you know, because it wasn't technically what I was out here to do. So I think, you know, that might have been part of it, was the fact that I was like, well, you know, I'm going to be an actor, that's what I want to do, so this hosting thing is fine. And then I was just blessed. I was, you know, blessed to be able to do it. It was totally like my kind of a show. Music, dancing, like, that's totally my vibe. Those are like passions of mine. So I think it was just kind of the perfect storm of everything coming together at the right time. But it's so funny because that one happened, you know, pretty quickly when I came out here. And then, you know, it has been a while since I've, you know, because now I've got Picturica, which I'm hosting. But it has been, you know, it's been a good 8 years. So, till I've got another TV show that I'm hosting. So while I got that one pretty quickly, it's been a constant, you know, it's a constant effort and battle and, you know, the whole nine, going through it all the rigors of being testing for shows and being right there on the, you know, right there on the table, and then going with someone else a bunch of times, you know, everybody saying, you're amazing, you know, we would love to have you in the show, and they go with a name. You know, so you have to deal with that, and it's just the same. That is the same across the board. Whether you're a musician, an actor, you know, a host, a dancer, you can't. You know, those auditions are the same across the board. You get to a point where you're so close, and you can feel it, and everybody's like, "I don't know why you don't have your own show," but you know, it's just a matter of continuing to push and be persistent and be patient. Because I think patience is one of the keys to being successful. Because if you get impatient, you're in trouble. So it's just, you know, it's tough. But yeah, so it happened quickly. But in the meantime, it's been a long, you know, journey, which, you know, I'm thankful for, because the stuff I've done in the meantime and the TV shows that I've worked on to get me to this point have prepped me. So I feel super comfortable going in front of any audience on any show, doing any, you know, any kind of a format.
How do you go about auditioning or getting the job of a host? I mean, I'm sure you have like a great, you know, like a demo tape. How does it work?
Yeah, it works. It works pretty much this very similar to how actors would go in an audition. But yeah, it's all about a demo reel. Everybody wants to see a demo reel, and so your EPK is vital. You know, you've got to have a solid, up-to-date EPK. You have to have a good, solid website, because everything is so digital and everything's at your fingertips right now. If you don't have, you know, your resume, your bio, your photos, your recent blogs, your recent events, you know, all of that stuff on your website, like, that eliminates you from the mix immediately. Because these casting directors, who do you have for this show? Great, what's the site? They're literally talking to the phone, to agents on the phone at their computer, and they're like, oh, I like this. Oh, he does this. Great. Or she could do that. All right, I see that. She did this scene with this guy. Okay, cool. I know this actor. Or whatever. You know what I mean? So it's very similar, I would imagine, to what actors are going through as well, as far as cutting that great demo, getting plenty of material to put a reel together, and then, you know, everything's digital, so you just get it all up online and just saturate it with your Twitter and all of your media, so that you can just be in their face constantly. You have to do everything you can to make it easy for them to hire you. You don't want them to have to search to find your resume or search to find, like, I can't get it, I can't play it. You're like, you have to make it easy and foolproof. So the second they click on it, boom, it comes up. Okay, great. I don't have to think about anything. It's foolproof. And, you know, because you could be your own worst enemy in a lot of those situations by not doing all of the work needed to make sure you're on point when it comes down to that. So it's very similar to that. And then, yeah, they'll after looking at your resume or getting a reference, or your agent just saying, look, you got to see these people. And if they've got a good relationship with the casting director will say, great, bring them in. So that's it. And you go in with your copy, you go in with your sides. And just like a read, you would just, you read your sides. Sometimes if you're doing a show where there's a contestant, the casting director will act as a contestant, much like if you're doing a scene, they'll read the scene with you. You know, they put you on camera, they slate you, and that's it. And then they'll bring you back, they'll test you, for producers, and you know, and then ultimately, hopefully, give you the call and get in and book it. But yeah, so I think the process is very similar. I mean, I haven't gone out for anything acting wise in a while, but I would imagine that's kind of the rigors are pretty standard across the board for both fields.
So you mentioned a good 8 years, I think you said. What were you doing in the meantime? I know you were doing something with American Idol, right?
Yeah, it's a little show called American Idol. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's weird. People sing, then America votes, and America Tonight, you'll decide who goes on. A lot of the folks from the production company of the first show I did, when the network was bought out and they dropped our show, they all kind of split up, and a bunch of them went over to American Idol, which was a brand new production that was just getting started. And so they did that, and after season two, they realized we need somebody in this audience who knows people, who can talk and just have fun and keep the energy going. So one of the line producers, who was a PA on my show, said, I got a great guy, let me call him and see what's up. because I don't have any stand-up comic background. Like, I don't do stand-up comedy, and that's not my shtick either. And I think that's kind of what's helped me be successful in the warm-up world, because when I started doing warm-up 8 years ago, the only shows people knew warm-up, you know, knew of a warm-up guy for were TV shows like Friends or, you know, Frasier, all these shows, Seinfeld, who had a live studio audience. They'd have a stand-up comic who would come out, do some comedy, and then they'd get into the show. This was a whole different, like, that's where warm-up, you know, the warm-up business kind of took a huge change, because now it's like, no, we don't need stand-up comedy, but we've got a live audience that we need to keep entertained, and we're doing live shows, and it's reality, and these are not the, you know, the Jason Alexanders and Julie Louis-Dreyfuses of the world. These are your next-door neighbors who are up on stage, so we get to cheer for them, go nuts for them, develop a relationship with them, and it's all going to happen in the 15, 20 minutes before the show starts.
Uh-huh.
So they pulled me in there on season 3 of Idol, and so I started just, you know, for me, it's just about having fun with people. I love I love people watching. It's one of my favorite things to do. I'm very inquisitive, so I love to just kind of be like, well, why that? Why this? What do you think about this? So it's been, so that's kind of my vibe. I don't, like I said, do really stand-up comedy, because to me, the star is American Idol and the audience who's there. It's not Corey. Like, it's not my show. It's not, hey, it's time for the Corey show, let me do my thing, and you guys, you know, it's all about me.
Yeah.
It's not. It's really, like, my main priority is the audience. They're the stars to me. And honestly, I can't really write or come up with material better than some of the stuff that people say when you pull them up out of their seats, and they're from Omaha, and they've never been to Hollywood, and they're on this, you know, for them, it's like, so the stuff that they come up with, the stuff that the kids come up with, you can't write that stuff. So why bother trying? I just get out there and have fun and try to facilitate it as best I can. But, again, make them the stars of the show. So, you know, so I've been doing that on Idol for ever since. So I've been there for 7 seasons. This will be my, 6 seasons. This will be my, right, because we did 9? No, 7 seasons. This will be my 8th, sorry. My 8th season coming up of Idol. And then after some folks saw me on Idol, they kind of got an idea of what this whole new concept was of reality shows. And so from Idol, the folks at Dancing with the Stars saw me. So, you know, so I do Idol, Dancing with the Stars, So You Think You Can Dance, America's Got Talent.
Wow.
So I stay, so those are pretty much, that keeps me busy for the entire year as far as a quote-unquote day job. You know, they keep me really busy. And the good thing is it's right up my alley. It's what I want to do. You know, because I'm still working my craft. It's not like, you know, it's not like I'm parking cars somewhere. Nothing wrong with parking cars, because it's a great way to make money. But I'm blessed enough to be able to make money doing, like, in the field that I want to pursue. So it's, you know, I, on the job training for me has been priceless. I've been able to, to learn and pick up stuff by being a warm up on these shows that I wouldn't be able to learn if I was doing any other job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's what's been priceless. And I, you know, that's what the 7-year grace period in between has been prepping me for, because, you know, Picturica has been an insane, crazy, awesomely amazing project that had I not had years of dealing with, you know, every single possible intangible, I don't know if it would have worked as well, because it, you know, the live game show with kids and family, and it is definitely demanding and tough. So, so that's been preparing and warming up ground.
So now tell me about Picturica. How did it come about, and just tell me about the show.
It's really funny, because, you know, we sit here and talk about, well, you've got to have your EPK, and people go online, they'll see you, they'll call you in, they'll test you, and the whole nine. None of that happened for me to get Picturica. It's crazy. But one of the producers was at an episode of Dancing with the Stars. They were at a taping, saw me at Dancing with the Stars. At that time, they were pitching the show to The Hub, which is a brand new network that Hasbro and Discovery Kids were launching, and have since launched. But they were pitching this show to them based on a Hasbro board game called Picturica. So they were like, you know what, I saw this guy at the show, and I think he would be good to help us with our pitch. So they called me up, and they're like, look, there's no money, there's only a couple rehearsal days, but would you be willing to maybe come in and work with us? So I was all for it. I'm totally cool with that. Went in and met with them. They were great right off the bat, and they said, look, 12 companies, 12 different production companies are pitching these games to the Hub. So it's a long shot for us to get it. I mean, we've got a 1 in 12, which is better than the odds, you know, for any other thing, but it's still... You know, it's still less than 10% that we could get the show. And for you to get the show, it's like 0%. There's no chance you're going to get the show, because even if they do pick it up, you know, it's a network thing. They're going to want to go with someone probably, you know, someone that people know and recognize. And I was like, you know what, no big deal. I just want to get in and get you guys the show. Like, my goal is not for me to get the show. I want you to get the show. So let's work this out. So we just went to work. I mean, it was a whole month. I was there almost every day, but I wanted to be there. I was like, I'll be there tomorrow. Let's work on it. So we just kept creating and building these games, because it's a game show. So we were building games, and they were like, well, this won't work. So then I would step in and say, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we do reveal the first two, then hang the Jeopardy over the third commercial break, come back, do the payoff, and then I'll turn the camera. And they're like, okay, great. That's great. Because luckily, not only have I worked on all these reality shows, but I've also worked on Smarter Than a Fifth Grader. I've worked on My Dad's Better Than Your Dad. I've worked on a bunch of game shows as well. So I kind of know the format of live TV game shows as a host, because I study them. So I said, well, can we do this? And they were really cool at taking my suggestions and saying, that's great. So we worked immediately, right off the bat. It was like, boom, an instant love affair. So it kind of went from, we hope that we get the show, chances are slim, you're not going to get the show, to, we'd love to get the show, and if we do, we'll throw your hat in the ring, to, we got to get this show, and if we do, you are our host. We cannot hire anyone else. We do not want anyone else. So it kind of developed to, you know, to a great relationship, and we have it couldn't have been better. I mean, it took 7 years to get to my next show, but I would do it the same way. I would go back and do it all over again the exact same way to end up where I was in the hands of the people that I ended up with, because this production company is an amazing, amazing family now that I'll be a part of for the rest of my career, because we're that close. It was just an amazing bond that we all kind of created together, filming Picturica. Now, Picturica is basically Where's Waldo meets Double Dare. It's a combination of physical challenges with you're searching for things. So it's based on the board game, and the tagline of the board game is Find It Fast, Find It First. So it's all about these teams, which consist of two children and one parent, two teams, and they're running through mazes trying to find these characters, these items, these objects, grabbing them, and then either running through a ball pit, diving into a ball pit, swimming their way over to the end, dropping it off to go to the next team member, or smashing balloons to earn points, or knocking down a big wall of blocks to find the right block that has the right picture on it. So it's basically, it's super fast-paced, tons of high energy, bright and colorful, and it's 30 minutes of mayhem each and every day, which is awesome, but yeah. It is really a blast.
Have you ever had to deal with just some awful contestant so far?
I've done live shows where I've had someone like go to the bathroom in their pants on stage because they were so nervous. I literally have had someone do that. You got to play that off, you know. But that's the stuff you can't write, and that's what I love about it, because you know we were doing a messy show on the road, a messy game show, and I said, listen, there is nothing messier than that. High five. And that's the ultimate mess right there. Come here. And then I just, you know, I think we pied him or something like that to kind of make it, you know what I mean? But, like, I mean, because I would never draw attention to it other than he drew attention to it. So, and it was obvious. So you can't, I couldn't avoid the elephant in the room, you know what I mean? Because I would never do that. And you know, for me, I always, like, any kind of a joke or anything, it's always going to be thrown at the parent. You know, I never, like, if I'm joking with the kids, I'll have fun with them, but I'll never, that to me is, like, major, you know, that is a huge, you know, children's game show faux pas. If you start joking with kids and start, you know, razzing them, it's bad. You know, I'll always go to the dad first. The moms are kind of sacred, too. You don't want to mess with moms, and you look mean. So, you know, but dad's fair game. go at it. You know, you can let it rip with dad. But yeah, so me, I would have never called attention to it. He called attention to it, and I'm like, all right, well, let's deal with it. Let's have some fun with it. So, and it was all good, you know, and his parents were like, thank you for being, but that was kind of an interesting thing. So that kind of a thing, not so much difficult, but just funny moments where you're like, all right, moving on. And somebody get me a squeegee, because we've got to clean the stage right now. And some Purell, please. But yeah, so those moments. But I kind of live for those moments. I like those wild cards that get thrown at you.
What's your advice to people who want to be a host?
Here's the thing, is that, media is everywhere now. Like, we're in a point, things have changed. I've seen things change so much from when I came out here, like 10 years ago. Things have changed so drastically with media that if you've got an idea, if you've got a concept and it's strong and you've got a strong brand, you can go out and shoot anything. I mean, you can shoot it. You can put it up. You can do video podcasts. You can do video blogs. But I would say you've got to figure out what you are. You know what I mean? What is your brand? Because it really is about yourself. When you're a host, you're selling yourself. When you're an actor, you're selling a character that you can portray. You know, so there is, I guess, a little bit of a different. While you're still yourself when you're an actor, when you're a host, you're completely yourself. So when you walk in that room, or you meet these execs, or you're putting a project together, it all comes down to you, because you're the host. You're the nucleus of it. You have to know who you are. You have to know everything. Like, what, you know, to say, I like travel is not enough. You know what I mean? To say, I'm a chef and I want to talk about exotic foods that are in these exotic locations, and I want to go to these locations, I want to pull them up off the beach. Now you're starting to find layers that the person before you didn't come in with. The person before you said, I like to cook. Really? Okay, great. I like to cook, but here's the specific stuff I like to do. Boom, 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 boom. So you have to really look at what you are and everything you bring to the table, all of the things you bring to the table. Like, what any interest you have at all. You know, like, I did a little research on you, Lance. But like, you know, like, your whole story about driving a forklift. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that, you know, you did that, and, you know, you didn't know that was going to pay off down the road, and boom, it paid off for you. So those kind of things you can't forget. You can't forget all that made you what you are, where you are right now. You know, and those are little things that's like, wow, I didn't even know that he could do a forklift. Like, I have to do, I'm doing warm-up on Skating with the Stars, and they literally just emailed me, and they're like, you don't happen to ice skate, do you? So I'm actually going to do warm-up on ice skate.
Nice.
You know what I mean? But it's like something like I, you know, I ice skated way back when I was a kid. I know how to ice skate, I know how to do all that. But again, it's like one of those things, it's like, okay, cool, I can do this angle, or I can do that angle. But really, it's about knowing who you are, being as secure in your brand. So when you walk in that room, nothing sways you, because, you know, the one thing that I've had people do is, you know, like, you know, they're like, okay, well, I really, you know, one of the biggest things people want to do as far as hosts is they want to do travel shows. Who doesn't? Who doesn't want to spend their day on the beach and go everywhere?
For free.
Yeah, exactly, you know, and actually get paid for it. So it's like, yeah, you want to do that, but what makes you different from all the others that want to do the same thing, you know? And so they'll get called to do a show for style, red carpet show for style, and they're like, well, I don't really, that style's not my thing, travel's my thing. But you see where they're missing the boat is, you can take your travel thing and incorporate it in the style thing. Because you could be doing a style thing and say, now look at, say right now we're on a red carpet in Costa Rica. What would you wear to that? You know what I mean? So all of a sudden, you're starting to say, you know what? People in Costa Rica love the color red, and you would look great in red. So now you're marrying what you are as a host and what you bring to the table, because no one on the carpet is going to ask that question. No one's going to, who are you wearing? Great. And who are you here to see? Who are you excited to see? It's not that. It's okay. So if you went to, you know, if you're in Bora Bora right now, which would be great. We'd be sipping a cocktail. You'd be wearing, you know what I mean? It's just, so people sometimes miss the boat because they don't realize you can mesh your brand, which is what you are, everything you have, with, you know, with what you're doing. So It's really about being as secure and strong in who you are when you bring that to the table, and then putting together every piece of material you can. Create media about yourself. Shoot stuff. Flip videos, iPhones. You can shoot this stuff. You can stream this stuff. I mean, there's no reason not to have this stuff online, you know. There are plenty of places that are doing demo reels, and, you know, you go in and shoot a nice 3-minute demo reel, put some ideas together. You sit down with a team, you know, a team of producers there on a lot of these places. I mean, I know that's where I got mine. You know, I can definitely give them a shout out. It's, you know, becomeahost.com is... That's where, you know, that I went to hosting class there, and they have a whole studio in-house. So they do green screen, they do everything. So it's great, but it really is about that demo reel. Putting that demo reel together, you know, and just coming up with a killer brand, because the bottom line is you have 15 seconds to sell yourself when you get in front of a casting director, because they'll sit there and say, okay, tell me a little bit about yourself. And that's like everyone's biggest nightmare, because they don't know what to say. You know, it's like, can I just do the sides? No, I want to know about you. You know, so it's a 15-second hard sell. And I would say, get in front of a mirror and practice that 15-second hard sell so you know it, you know, frontwards, backwards, up and down. So these people are like, this guy knows who he is. This girl knows exactly what's up. And okay, great, I'm excited to hear that. You know, you do tech stuff, you do sports stuff, great. I can't wait to hear you read this copy because you're going to have a whole different vibe. You know, then the person that just came in and said, hey, you know, how are you? Oh, I'm good. I'm just in between shifts at Daily Grill, and I'll be going back. It's like, no, who are you? You know, so, work that 15-second hard sell, because that's what separates the men from the boys. That's what will really put you in a good standing with a casting director, because they'll know when they sit there that you actually worked on it. Yeah. They're not going to sit there and go, you know what, this guy doesn't really know what's up. They're like, wow, he came in, he knew that, he knew his sides. And I see his point of view, you know, because every good host has to have a point of view. So when they see that stuff, they realize it. But it's all about just continuing to build your brand, you know, reels, resume, EPKs, blogs, video, all of it. Because you can get in touch with everybody now. It's tougher now because there are so many ways for people to get to see everything that you do that you have to keep up with it all. Back in the day, it was a headshot and resume.
Yeah,
that's it. That's all you need. And nowadays, you got to do it all. You know, you got to be willing to shoot everything. So it's tricky, but, you know, persistence and patience. That's all.
Thanks, Corey, and thank you for listening. Hey, this site takes a lot of work. It's only me. So if you can, please support the advertisers. And keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, columns, and resources. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.